welcome Eleanor Frierson to the podium. She's a deputy director at the National Agriculture Library, Department of Agriculture. And she will be telling you about some of the groundbreaking work that she and Walt and other members of CENDI have been about. And we greatly welcome them to this workshop. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, everybody. Walt and I have been talking about what a surprise it was to find out about these workshops at this level of the game. But having listened to people introduce themselves and their interests, it's even more gratifying to be here. And I'm really feel quite lucky that Susan called me up and we said we could do this. I'm one of the two co-chairs of the Science.gov Alliance, which is the group of agencies that have created and self-funded and continued to develop www.science.gov. My other co-chair is Tom Lahr from the National Biological Information Infrastructure Program of the Geological Survey. We started back in the heady days of Unify and Simplify, if you remember that mantra, I use it a lot, when cross-government portals were being developed to help citizens find information. And I want to say early and often how much we appreciated the help of GSA. We were the beneficiary of two of the grants in the single year that grants were distributed to help agencies develop cross-agency portals. And without those grants and the support of Bev Godwin and her colleagues, we would have had a much more difficult time. One of the things I'd like to see reestablished is the group of those of us who are still in the business. It would help people do things such as environment.gov and some of the other things we're talking about. What I want to do today, for the benefit of the people on the phone, if you have a computer in front of you and you want to put it on www.science.gov, you can kind of follow along with what I'm going to do. Rather than have a PowerPoint presentation, I'd like to walk you through the information about science.gov from the site itself and hope that you will use it a little bit more. Could I have a show of hands of the people here today who has used science.gov? Oh, we're getting caught. About a third of the group. How many of you know somebody who contributes to science.gov? Many fewer. So one of the things I wanted to say, and I'll say it again, is that I think we have some possibilities for recruitment represented in this meeting, and I hope you will contact us. We are always looking to enrich science.gov. We are shortly to have 17 organizations in the government as members of the Science.gov Alliance. There are a couple represented here we've been trying to get for 5 years and we've failed, and I hope that maybe some of you will help us get those. You can talk to me about that later. Science.gov is meant to be a place where science-attentive citizens, this is our hard-derived definition, can find out where to find scientific and technological information provided via the U.S. government. And I say provided via the U.S. government because we have the three large national libraries in this program, and we have many other agencies which disseminate information, collect, manage, and disseminate information that is not totally U.S. government-produced or funded information. At the National Agricultural Library, we have a great deal of publications from state ag agencies or research papers from across the world, the Library of Congress equally, the Library of Medicine also. So don't think of this as just U.S. government information. It is scientific and technological information provided via the U.S. government. So we actually find current usage, the last time I looked, was about 40% of the usage is from outside the United States. I personally would like to see more usage within the United States, but I'm happy to see it wherever it comes from. On our website, up at the top, we have an awful lot of information in the About section. And we are, as you will see, we launched the first version of science.gov in December 2002. So this December, we're hoping to have an event celebrating the fifth anniversary of this self-funded, self-initiated, non-mandated, successful service, and what it's turned out to be, and Walt will talk to you a little bit about that as a pathway for perhaps international collaboration of people who would like to make scientific and technological information freely available to people all over the world. We are now in version 4.0. We've been the beneficiary of Small Business Innovation Research Grants to help develop the software. This would not have happened without the help of the office that Walt is the director of at the Energy Department. Okay. If you'd like to help us publicize science.gov, there's a fact sheet. We keep it up to date, easily printable. We are very fortunate to have a government printing office as part of science.gov, and they help us out a lot with information to share. We hope that science teachers, I noticed a gentleman from the military school system, will direct their students to use science.gov and to help them. We have all kinds of aids there. For those of you who are interested in helping us add more content and more members to the Alliance, these are the participants. We have 17 organizations across 13 federal agencies. And before you ask me, yes, notable absences right now are NOAA and the Centers for Disease Control. But we have about 99% of the entities doing scientific and technological research and development represented in the Science.gov Alliance. As I said, up at the top, we also have a bunch of communications. You will see all kinds of videos, articles, bookmarks, which are actually popular giveaways for people, copies of presentations. Walt's presentation will be up here. So there's quite a bit of information there about how to contact us and what we're doing. But to get to the back to the meat of the business and why we're here, I kind of look at the science.gov front page as the equivalent of the Wizard of Oz's screen. There's a lot of complicated stuff that goes on behind the front page. Our goal from the very beginning was to help people as to find information as easily as possible. So this is not your place where you would go for comprehensive exclusion of, for example, medicines. This is a place where you would go to find out which major sources of information across the government have the kind of information that you're looking for, and it will help you locate those and click right into them. It is a place where you can keep up to date on what's being added to the store of government information about topics, because we provide free of charge weekly alerts that are becoming more and more popular. We have a variety of ways. I noticed the interest in usability. We did extensive usability testing at the beginning to help us try to simplify this page. People had talked about setting up audience filters. And what we found out from people is, no, trying to hide something from me. I want to look at everything and pick it out for myself. Thank you very much. Don't think for me. I think for myself. So we got rid of the audience levels, and that was a lot of work. We went to a great deal of difficulty to establish a browse tree and a taxonomy across the content that's here. We look at that when we add new agencies, and we modify it, and we keep it up all the time. Let me get to the content that is searchable by science.gov. The first is a set of carefully selected websites that are put into a catalog by content specialists from each of the member agencies. So we don't claim to be every website that might have anything to do with science and technology across government. We claim to be a place where people have gone through and selected what they think would be relevant for science attentive citizens. The claim to fame, however, is the combination of results from searching these websites with distributed search of the deep web of government information. And I, for those on the phone, I clicked at the top of the front page on science.gov, selected science information. We have a large number of databases. Many of them have all kinds of data sets represented. We just added the Library of Congress to the Science.gov Alliance, so we are in conversations with people at the Library of Congress about how many more databases they would like to add to the Science.gov base. We are also in conversations with members of the other agencies to see if there aren't other major databases there. We have functionality in Science.gov that may not be available on home sites. Searches through science.gov have as a default that everything is searched, as people told us they wanted to have it searched. But as an advanced search, one can, for example, if you're in the biomedical field, pick out the National Library of Medicine information, hours, some stuff from EPA, and maybe the Defense Department, search only across those and get results ranked in by relevance in a way that they are not ranked on their home systems. We have also, in addition to browse treaties, we have featured searches. I thought you might like to see the archive of featured searches. These are searches that are done by very experienced searchers who know the source databases. They are saved. So if you're interested in one of these topics, if you're in talking to people who are doing science homework papers, for example, green buildings, greenhouse gases, these are saved. You can execute them, and then you can ask to have a weekly alert on any of these. So in those, the searching expertise has been done for you. At the bottom of the page, we have featured websites. We also have an archive of that. You can see, again, kind of hot topics of the last 5 years. This is a Google-like search box. But it does what Google doesn't do, which is open all these databases that are being updated all the time on the fly. There at the moment, there are 30 sources. One of those is the catalog of the websites. The rest are the databases. In terms of how this is done, the Geological Survey furnishes the search of the web catalog, and DOE OSTI supplies the deep web search, and then these searches are glommed together in real time. Yes, I do want to see. So what you see is a ranking by relevancy. We can talk more about that. Walt can talk about the algorithm. If there's full text, it's right there. For people and you can see the spread. The first is out of the science.gov websites. We've got PubMed, Agricola, PubMed, more websites, Energy Citations Database, DOE Information Bridge, and so forth. Or if people can mark the ones that are interesting to them, they can copy them down in a file. So this is a unified set of results ranked for relevancy, full text available, if available. We are moving forward to do a lot of searching, not just in the source files, but also in any full text that's attached to them, and bring those back in real time. I think people can play with their own searches. Let me just go back up here. All right. If you want to create an alert, you can ask for it. It'll come every Monday morning. There are advanced search capabilities. There are all kinds of things. We have some suggested spelling. No, we didn't mean that. People misspell words a lot. So So what we've done first is add an extensive biomedical literature with cross-references and misspellings. And just now we've added a large vocabulary and dictionary in more general science and technology to do that to help. Let's see. Pesticides and herbicides were often in the top 10 searches. Energy issues are moving up to the top now, but it's a good way to see what people are doing. EPA, the Center for Drug Evaluation, Clinical Trials, ERIC, the Educational Resources, Geological Survey, Medline Plus, and so on. NASA, the National Science Digital Library is in here. If you really want to see an example of why we did this, this search is one I like to use. Before we had science.gov, people would have to know that these particular agencies had a source. They'd have to go there. They'd have to fill in the search form. They'd have to bring the results back, go and visit these other places, and do that again. With science.gov, people don't have to do that. We wanted to unify and simplify science and technology information for our citizens. It's been a big success. I had the pleasure of receiving a visit from the folks in Germany who were behind the VASCODA, V-A-S-C-O-D-A, science portal that is supported by the research, by the ministry we were just hearing about. There is a science.gov France. There is a science.gov in Australia. There's a science or science in Canada. And there are other national portals. The VASCODA folks took the most complicated approach of any we've seen, and they were having serious debates about whether to continue to work on VASCODA, and called us up one day and said, we'd like to talk to you. So we talked to them, and not only did they decide they were going to carry on, they said, we have so much interest in common, maybe we who run these national science portals should get together and speak. So we had one meeting at the International Federation of Library Associations at IFLA in Oslo, and we had another one in Korea last year, and we've gathered more interest from people to see what we might do together. And with that, I will turn it over to Walt, because he's going to talk to you about a very rapidly moving situation of what we can do together. And I'll answer questions about science.gov at the end, if that's all right.